And joining me now in the Care of Yes studios, I am just delighted to say, are Barry Ancelet and Melissa Bonin, here to talk about festivals Acadien. And I know people out there going, "But isn't it still summertime?" But the fall is upon us,
it's
and
coming.
It is just a few weeks until festivals Acadien. Barry, this is, tell us the year. How many years have y'all been doing
45.
It? 45. And Melissa Bonin is the official festival poster artist this year. What an amazing history of the festival, and also what an incredible lineage of poster artists who have been involved with the festival. So we're all delighted that you've been chosen this year.
I'm thrilled, Judith. Yeah. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to have the poster image this year, being the third woman in the history of the festival, and is very exciting.
And so appropriate, because that is the theme of the festival this year, women in Cajun music. And Barry, I'm going to let you talk about it, because it's beyond just music. It involves so many different women. So how did you all decide on that theme this
year?
Here's
what happened. Wade Falcon called me last year sometime and said, "Hey, you know, next year, 2019 is the 90th anniversary of the first recording of Jolie Blonde." Well, that's a cool thing, right? And I thought, okay, well, yeah, but I mean, we can't hang it just on one song. And I was thinking about it, and I said, well, we could expand that and use it as an opportunity to honor and celebrate the role of women in Cajun and Creole music over the years. And, you know, the first two things that jumped into my head were the obvious ones. The singers, and they have been rare in the past. I mean, Cleoma was one of the first, was in fact on the very first recording in 1928 with her husband Joe Falcon. But between Cleoma and the next vocal performer took some decades. But now there's this explosion of really exciting bands that feature female vocals. From Fufule, who's always had a female vocalist. Most recently Kelly Jones and Anna Laura, and now we have Bonsoir Catin and Timonde and the Daiquiri Queens. they're just this explosion of amazing talent. Creative talent and performing talent in Cajun music. And so we figured, let's take a look at that, the singers. But then there's also the characters that have been sung about, Jolie Blonde, beginning there. But then it got me thinking, there was Madeleine, Chère Alice, Chère Mame, Chère Bassette, Bernadette, Tante Adèle, Marie, Adieu Rosa, La Fille de la Veuve, Les Filles Inoculades, and on and on and on.
Right.
Men were singing about women, but it turns out that they were singing about most often problematic women. You know, Jolie Blonde left and went away. She was disloyal. But that caused me to start thinking, okay, well, was it different when women sang? Well, there weren't so many women who were singing. Oh, wait, yes, there were a lot of women singing. They were singing at home. They were preserving our lyrical heritage. You know, people like Alma Bartholomew and Lula Landry and Ines Catalan and Odile Falcon, Agnes Bork, who had been recorded by folklorists. And then I thought, some of them were recorded by women, like Catherine Blanchette and Irene Whitfield. So
it kept expanding.
There were so many important women involved in getting us to where we are today. I think the explosion of creative energy among female performers today is no accident. It built for a long time in backstage or off stage, but then when it came roaring on stage, it wasn't invented out of thin air.
Right.
It was coming from somewhere.
Well, and I think in large part folklorists like yourself and others who came from other places to mine the richness of our culture, who found these women singers, who recorded these women singers, really laid the groundwork for a lot of the young female singers today. And so you all are – that's much credit to you all.
And once you start listening to what women were singing – and, by the way, I was involved in – what was 10, 12 years ago, the Women's Home Music Project. Right. That's when we first started paying attention. Like, when women sing, are they singing about slightly different things,
right?
I mean, sometimes they were singing songs that were just around, but sometimes it's really remarkable. Like the songs that were typically sung at wedding receptions to sort of shadi vadi tradition, poking fun at the institution, you know, just sort of telling the students, well, you know, y'all need to be careful. Men would sing songs like Je me suis marié, j'ai du gré dans l'âme. But then women would answer that by saying, Mon papa me donnait ce petit mari, mon Dieu, quel homme, quel petit homme. So they were, they did have a different
perspective. They were answering back and forth.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you say that was a little 10 years or over, I'm thinking of the ages of some of these young female musicians and singers. And 10 years ago, they were just getting into college, hearing those songs, hearing the recordings.
That's what happens when you open the door.
That's right.
If you open the door, you know, I've often said about the language, about the music, about all the aspects of our culture and tradition, you can't force it. But what you can do is make it attractive and available. And they decide to come. And I think you're right, Jude. I hadn't thought about that, but the timing coincides.
It's perfect.
When we started having those conversations, when we dedicated the festival years ago to Cleo Mafalco, when we came out with the Women's Home Music, Christy Guillory was involved with that. Well, look.
And it led them to the archives, of course, and finding more of those songs as well. So how lovely that you are opening an enormous door this year with this festival, and not just honoring those women musicians, but also honoring our women artists. And Melissa Bona, as you said, you are the third female artist
in
46 years.
Well, wait, that's not entirely fair.
Okay, we do have to say that Megan Barra has been...
Megan is one of them.
Yes, and she has also been designing...
The first one was Judith Seligson.
In 1974, the very first poster.
Oh, look at there.
Yeah.
Now, I was telling Melissa while waiting to come on the air, most of those years it was Benny Grafe, and we weren't choosing an artist. We were just working with the T-shirt company and the poster company. So once we started... actually looking, inviting artists. That hasn't been all that long ago. And so, but nevertheless, it is significant that we are, you know, finally with Megan a couple of years ago, and then Melissa this year, you know, opening it more.
That's right.
Now, we're having a symposium on Friday as well, right, Friday before the festival. And we asked Christy Guillory to run it. You don't do that kind of thing and have a guy put it together. You don't make this kind of statement and have a guy do the poster.
Well, that is a credit to you all, because sometimes when you hear about academic symposiums, it's the opposite case.
But I have to say, I want to make it clear that we didn't choose Melissa because she was a woman. We chose Melissa because she was good.
Right.
And she's doing important work, and she had a female perspective on an issue that we needed a female perspective on. So that's...
Well, and Melissa, you have been doing such lovely work, and I want to say extraordinarily feminine work that has been presenting this culture, this area, with a very, very unique, lovely spirit and eye. And I know anyone who's experienced your work feels that way as well.
Thank you, Judith.
Yeah.
So it's very kind of you to say. With regard to what Barry said earlier, whoever wrote Jolie Blonde, he wrote the song because she was problematic. Now, if Jolie Blonde would write her song, she would probably say he was problematic.
I'm sure.
So it's a perspective thing.
It turns out that the same Wade Falcon guy has tracked down who Jolie Blonde really was. And her side of the story is exactly that. You know, Emma DeBrow was a difficult person to be around.
Well, I can see another symposium growing out of all those stories. Well, let's talk about your idea for the poster, which will be unveiled this Friday. Everyone has a chance to see the poster this Friday at the A. Hayes Town building of the Hilliard Museum. I think doors open at 6, and then the unveiling will be at 6:45. How did you go about choosing the subject of your poster? It's very different and lovely.
Thank you. It's somewhat abstract, but at the same time, it has a very symbolic and realistic quality. And so I like that when you first walk up to it, you're not sure what you see, but then there's a surprise. Oh, it's birds. Mm-hmm. And the title of this this festival, Songbirds, is such a beautiful title. So I started doing research about songbirds. And songbirds have a particular gift for song, which opened a lot of doors for them, for survival, etc. And so I thought about that, and I said, I'm going to, mentioning there's an exhibit that goes with this, I said, I'm going to choose works that have a certain musicality, lyricism, movement, everything that I equate with music. And so I hand selected each piece to sort of embrace the image of the poster. I started with the poster image, and from there I built the collection with the help of Ben and Chris and Susan and Olivia and Misty at the Hilliard. They're wonderful to work with. I appreciate them so much. The symbol of the bird as a foreteller of the future, and also as seeking higher knowledge. Those two things really hit home. And freedom and the flight. Mm-hmm. The flight, the song, the freedom. It just all made sense.
So many things informing the choice of that image and how you put it onto your poster. There's also a very direct correlation to a quote by a Cajun musician, a woman who sings, and I'm not sure, Barry, can you quote it en français and then in English, perhaps?
Okay. This was a fortuitous sort of accident. Brilliant. When I saw what Melissa was proposing, the songbirds, the two songbirds, mm-hmm. I thought, okay, how's that working? Well, okay, songbirds, I get that. And it's sort of it's a beautiful sort of feminine image. But then it jumped into my head. I thought, oh, Alma Bartholomew, one of those great singers who was recorded in the 1950s by Harry Oster and Ralph Rinsler, singing over 125 songs, just astonishing repertoire. At one point, she was commenting on her mother, where she learned her songs, and she said, avec ma maman. Oui, ma maman. Eh bien, j'apprenais ça avec ma maman. Ma maman, c'était une femme qui chantait réglée. Et la tante de ma maman apprenait son panier d'ouvrage à aller s'asseoir en dessous des arbres. Et le oiseau qui passait, qui sifflait, a faisait une chanson là-dessus. She had learned her songs with her mother, and she said my mother was a woman who sang all the time, and the aunt, my mother's aunt, and they would go and sit under the tree with their sewing baskets, and they would sit under the tree, and the birds that would pass, who were whistling, who were singing, they would compose melodies to those to that
and
whistling.
The songs of birds.
So it ended up fitting perfectly. Yeah. I mean, when we had this conversation, we both had the frissons.
And I think that part of that quote is actually a part of the poster.
Yes.
Is that included on there? So you have
in French.
In French, that lovely poetic connection between songbird and a singer en français.
And poetry.
And poetry, exactly. So that will be a part.
And they were sewing.
And sewing.
You know,
that's right.
The domestic arts. It's
weaving
everything.
It all
there's
together.
So much balled up into that.
Now, the poster is. As you said, it's a bit abstract, but it is obviously of the birds. There's a slight shimmer to it as well. Tell us how you decided to do that.
So Megan Barra, who's a wonderful designer, helped to create the final product. And she, the original artwork does have gold on it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she managed to get the printer to recreate the gold with just a flutter mm-hmm. of gold across the image. It's mm-hmm. really beautifully done. I appreciate everything she did. She did a great job.
Well, I'm sure she appreciated so much what she had to work with, the beauty of your image. In addition to the poster unveiling, you did mention other paintings, and there is an exhibit in the Hayestown building?
Yes.
Okay, of your other paintings. How many pieces are in there?
I think it's 33, if I'm not mistaken.
How lovely.
Yes, and they range
my girl's
from
been working.
She has.
They range from paintings and drawings, and some of the drawings are created with ash. I was doing an Acadian series, and so I combined ash and gold as a metaphor for rising from the ashes after the deportation. So some of those works are in there. Also, I have some 24-karat gold pieces that I just started working on. So it's kind of spread across my career, but the commonality is the lyricism mm. and the movement and the musicality.
Mm. Well, I think a lot of people are enjoying your lovely voice as well. And we do have to mention you're from New Iberia. Along the Teche, where really this whole culture got started, where they arrived. And so a lot of inspiration, I'm sure, for you over the years in your painting. If you are just tuning in, my guests are Barry Oncelet, of course, who was instrumental in starting Festivals Acadien et Créole 45 years ago now. The festival this year will be the second weekend in October, and the festival poster artist is my other guest, Melissa Bonin, and the title of the theme of the festival, Barry, again, is
The women, Role of Women.
The Role of mm-hmm. Women.
Okay. And the sort of the subtitle is Songbirds.
Songbird.
Yes, yeah. The Lyrical Legacy.
The Lyrical Legacy.
That is
of
just
women.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say, too, that along the way that We started noticing a few years ago while, you know, evolving in poster production is that the most popular posters that we've had have been art. You know, they're actual art. And so we started, you know, gravitating toward actual pieces of art, like last year with Randall and a few Beth. And that's why we ended up with this invitation as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, people so appreciate that, and I've seen quite a number of festival posters on people's walls, so it's very precious to them. In addition to the poster, Megan has created a pin, I believe,
yes.
out of the images.
Oh, it's
and
so beautiful.
What did she use to create the pin? What images?
She took the songbirds and then inserted, what is that, a violin fiddle? And then it's enameled, and it's really, I can't wait to see it in person.
It's gorgeous. Lovely. It really is gorgeous. Mm. It's a piece of jewelry.
Mm-hmm. See, jewelry and art. We can decorate ourselves and our walls with Melissa Bonin's art, helped by Megan Barra.
And
this
I'm going
year.
To go out on a limb here, but, you know, Melissa is very well established and well collected artist, but not everybody in the world can afford to buy actual art from any of our artists. You know, it's a special thing. But with the poster, you get a chance to have a Melissa Bonin in your house, and it's every bit as beautiful an image. You know, so
that is an opportunity.
And then you discover the artists that mm-hmm. we're featuring, like Melissa, and maybe you'll go to the gallery and take a look. You know?
Well, and this Friday, they're both combined, so
yes.
you can see the poster, perhaps get a poster, and also see the exhibit of your pieces in the A. Hayes-Town building. So
we were wondering
lovely.
How we were going to do that. Like, you know, we always have some sort of art exhibit along with the poster unveiling, and it'll be in the Hayes-Town house through the festival.
So and after.
And a little bit after, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we were wondering how maybe we should identify a bunch of women artists. And Melissa said, oh, I got this. So we said, well, hey, run with it. And so this is going to be a really great opportunity to see an important show and a curated show. It's not just willy-nilly. It's all stuff that relates to the issue mm-hmm. of lyrical legacy.
So, Melissa, how has that helped you or made you feel as an artist to be a part of this festival? I mean, we've all grown up with the festival. We were probably, you know, extremely young when we went to our first festival, so you've known about it all your life.
Right.
And you've been inspired by the culture in your work.
I'm just thrilled. Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled. Mm-hmm. And it happened so easily and naturally. We just had a conversation, and mm-hmm. I said, I got this. And it was the right time.
It felt right to
yes.
you. Absolutely. Well, the images are lovely, and I know other people will think so.
So one more thing for this event, October 11th, I'm going to do what I'm calling a poetry crawl through the museum, through the space, and I'm going to read some of my poetry in front of the paintings that perhaps inspired the poems or vice
so that
versa.
Will be the Friday
this is the
night.
Part of the Friday, symposium.
Okay. This is the Friday, October 11th symposium. So, okay.
So
yeah.
You've written poems as well as painted.
Yes. Yes, that's my new outlet.
All right. So are the poems en français? Or
tous les deux.
Tous les deux, anglais et français. Oui. So what an amazing opportunity we'll have that Friday, again, as a part of this symposium, to see your work in the Hilliard Museum and to hear your poetry as well. Do you have some books?
I'm working on that.
All right. Will they be ready for the festival?
No, probably not.
Okay. So people will get to hear the poems and they will look forward to getting the books as well. And will they be decorated with some of the paintings, perhaps?
That's my plan.
All right. So this is like a little unveiling of that project that we'll get to see the Friday. The symposium takes place, and I think people can register now for the symposium,
yes.
Barry?
And it's going to be upstairs at the AHA's townhouse.
All right. And where can they register?
At the Center for Louisiana Studies website.
Okay, so you can register for that symposium.
They're even going to provide a lovely catered lunch.
Even more special. So symposium, lunch, and Melissa Bonas showing her paintings and reading her poetry that day.
At the end of the symposium, Christy Guillory is organizing a women's charivari, which is going to go from the symposium to the boudin cutting Friday to open the festival. I'm going to be in that lineup because Christy invited women and men who run with Cajun women. So.
Okay, so we're going to go from the sublime of the songbirds to the boudin cutting. What a great combination!
Yeah,
I was going to ask you to. I was going to ask you to just comment a little bit about what it was like working with Megan, who is, you know, as I said before, she's our go to designer for the posters, not because she was a woman, because she was the best. And what was it like to work with her? Two women working together on this project.
Megan is a quiet soldier angel. She is always prepared. She does beautiful work. She's very humble and modest, and she allowed me to express my desires for the poster. She worked with me, and we really worked long and hard to get it exactly just right, the way we wanted it, and we were both very happy in the end.
And she's got quite an attention to detail, doesn't she?
Yes.
Astonishing.
Well, we all look forward to that unveiling. Again, that's this Friday. Everybody's invited to attend that unveiling. The museum is open at 6 o'clock. You can head there at 6, and then at 6:45, the unveiling of the poster and the pin, and both will be available. People can acquire them.
Yeah, and you know, everybody come out and celebrate your mamas and your grandmas and your aunts and, you know, all of these amazingly strong, productive women that have been in our history, all, you know, from back to the exile and before, you know, some of these people, the women who held families together and made things happen. That's what we're hoping to celebrate.
Right. All the ones who sang those jingles or the lullabies, anything. They didn't have to be professional musicians recorded.
And this is not the Moi Aussi festival. Mm-hmm. This is more a celebration of the quiet, sometimes quiet power that was always there and made everything possible.
Mm, what a lovely statement about this year's festival. Well, thank you both for coming by to let us know more about it. Barry Ancelet and the festival poster artist this year, Melissa Bonas. The opening unveiling is Friday at the Hilliard Museum, 6 o'clock. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you, Judith.
Thank you.
Si je l'aurais, oui je l'aurais, quoi ce qu'elle m'écoute, quoi ce se parole ho degutto. Viva la vita, viva l'amor, viva di fiera di come giù.
What's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. Tomorrow evening, there will be a performance in Angel Hall, a quintet, a string quintet, who will be performing two quintets, one by Glazunov and one by Schubert. That starts at 7:30 in Angel Hall on the UL campus. All are invited to attend. A new exhibit opens up in downtown Lafayette of works by Philip Gould, some wonderful vintage images and some very contemporary pieces by him. There will be an opening reception this Thursday, September 12th, and there will also be one for Art Walk on Saturday on September 14th. For more information, you can contact Creative Spaces Gallery. The Acadian Museum will have an opening this Thursday, actually a book launch of the book Seeking an Acadian Nation, the 1930 Diary of an Evangeline Girl. That is a wonderful piece by Warren Perrin and Mary Perrin, and there will be the book launch this Thursday, September 12th, at UL's Dupre Library in room 102 at 7 o'clock. Bass and Dance Collective will open Sport Suites this Thursday the 12th that will run through Sunday at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. For more information, you can contact the ACA or go to Bass and Arts. Acadiana Repertory Theater continues its run of The Wooden Heart by Adam Simkowitz. That is at Cité des Arts this weekend. And in Lake Charles, the opening reception... And the opening reception will be at the Gibson Barham Gallery of works by Clyde Connell. That's from 7 to 8 in Lake Charles. And, of course, the poster unveiling this Friday at the Hilliard University Art Museum.
Harpistry, an eclectic mix of harp-centric world music, Mondays at noon and Sundays at midnight, right here on KRVS.
The trolley stops Ragnar Carlson doesn't regret going on Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back. but he does have this to say to anyone interested in being on a reality TV show.
Understand that the reality part is not what's emphasized. The TV show is what's emphasized.
Life after reality TV on the next Louisiana Eats, Wednesdays at 1 and Saturdays at 4 on KRVS.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at krvs.org.